and all that. No. They didn't truly believe until the day of Pentecost when 120 believers believed that who that man was. You know why? Because the believer came into them. Listen, you can't believe if you don't have the believer inside of you. Because we're just a bunch of people that just don't believe nothing. We're just human beings. We don't believe. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it. I told you, prove it. Well, God's already proved it. You know why? He's already seen it happen. And if you include yourself in there, he saw you do it.
That's right.
If you don't, because look, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, like I said, we don't have to have faith in that. We know that's happened. We're here. Like Brother Joe Green, y'all remember Brother Joe Green a couple years ago? He preached on now faith, not a past faith, a now faith. Well, that's what you got to have. You got to have an updated now faith, because watch. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Read that again. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Because remember, it's not faith if you can see it. Well, I believe I'll just put on my black vest this morning. Well, if I walked in today and I could say that all day long, but if I didn't put this thing on this morning, you'd go, there's something wrong with you. What? There's something wrong with your believing. Because you've not seen the... not made by of things which do appear. So in other words, there was nothing. It was all in God's mind. But he saw the vision and said, let there be. Had to see, because remember, what is the vision? The vision is foreknowledge. The vision is foreknowledge. Because remember, those he foreknew, he did predestinate. Now, predestination is this journey by faith we go through. But he already knew what you were going to do. Foreknowledge. You know, it's kind of... I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it kind of strong. God didn't need faith. God doesn't need faith. He needs you to have faith.
Amen.
You tell me where God needed faith. Oh, I believe I can create this world. No, Brother Brown said he thought it and spoke it.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it and spoke it. He thought it and spoke it. He's God. He can do that. But you and I, even being lesser gods, we have to have faith. He put that faith in there. That we believe that he's already done it. Matching pieces. It can't be different. Listen, if you tear a piece of paper and then you bring a piece of plastic in and try to match it with the paper, it ain't gonna match. That's what Brother Darrell was preaching on, and I thought, man, I'm gonna use that but bring it a little bit higher, because remember, when he tore that piece of paper apart in the garden, when man separated from God, now remember, it was the same piece of paper that it was tore off of. It wasn't. See, that's where we've come down to, is that we believe it's God over here and then us over here. Like I said before, two-ness. You know, they really enjoyed that, because it's really everybody's belief. You know, what's Jesus going to do? What's it? If he tore that piece of paper, Brother Brown even tells, remember he talks about tearing the Chinese tearing the paper. Well, now, if you brought back to the Chinese guy in the laundry, if you brought back a piece of wood, or a piece of plastic, because wood is technically paper. So if you brought a piece of plastic in, and he's got the piece of paper, and you, even though it may match, you may have tried to tear it, it's not the same material. You and I were tore off. You and I were tore off the same material. It just got separated, and what separated is sitting in front of me now. But that thing that's inside of you never did sin a day. That thing inside of you always was eternal. It was fellowship that was separated between God and man. But it was the same piece of paper. If you're not torn from the same piece of paper, you're not bride.
Even if you're torn from the same kind of paper, it's got
It's got to match. But you can't bring plastic in. You can't bring metal in.
But I mean,
you can't bring anything in different.
It's church.
Yes. Yes. But when God tore it apart, which he did because of what Adam did, Adam didn't lose his God. He lost his fellowship. Read Brother Brown. We lost our fellowship. And losing our fellowship, we were out in the world of sin, clouded, nothing good about us. But that same piece of paper was still in his mind. He thought no less of you when you were in the world of sin, because you know what he was looking at? He was looking at them two pieces of paper. And what is redemption? So what Brother Darrell was bringing was redemption. Redemption's not replacement. You didn't bring another piece of paper in. No, when he tore that piece of paper, he laid one here and he laid one here. Well, full redemption is you bring it right back. And the lines go the same. Everything is exactly on each side of the paper. Does everybody understand that? That's what God's doing now. When he puts that piece of paper back together, that's when we'll take a body change, because he saw the paper come back together. He saw somebody make it. And I'm glad Brother Darrell said it, and I said it too. I'm just dumb enough to believe it's me. I'm just dumb enough to believe it's me. Alright, so through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, we know that because we're standing here on it. Alright, so it's a reality now. So that things which are seen went up in a cloud. Things that were seen, which are seen now, were not made of things which do appear. In other words, the world, physical world, had to come into clarity or had to come together, but God saw it before the foundation of the world, or he couldn't have made the earth.
Right.
You got to remember too, God doesn't change his mind about his word. So there's no, and that, see, that's where I can put faith in that, that God's not going to change his mind about anything. It's always going to be, because this 66 books of the Bible is the vision, the television, that God had before the foundation of the world. And you know what? Set in stone, set in blood, not going to change. So I can put my confidence in that. But what's man done? Man has read the same thing we read, but they've got it out of focus. Even Luther, even Wesley, we were talking about this, Luther and Wesley, they got it out of focus. It was the same Word of God. The Word of God doesn't change. Our eyesight had to change. So what we did is God sent us a prophet to turn our eyes back, turn us back to what the Bible said to begin with. Because Brother Brown cannot change the Bible. He preached right out of the Bible, and that's where it came from. And then truly we can say, I came from God, and I'm going back to God. Because you know what? I got the evidence. I got the paper. God's got one part of it. I got the other part of it. Because when he gave me the new birth, he took that piece of paper and he put it right here. Now the problem is, I don't have it all connected back together yet. But redemption is not replacement, so it will be brought back. And we do have to have faith. We have to have faith in our journey. But once you come and say, well, I know I'm born again. I know I got the Spirit of God inside of me. You don't have to have faith for that anymore.
That's right.
Because look, I don't know if we read it in Paul, in his writings yet, but in Romans or Hebrews 1, he says, leaving again the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of laying on of hands of water baptism. In other words, Sister Frieda got baptized. She believes that the baptism, that was where God baptized. You did what God said, and then you walked on. Now, Frieda doesn't have to come back in. You don't mind if I just call you Frieda, not Sister Frieda. Okay. But Sister Frieda comes in today and goes, I think I need to get baptized. And then next Sunday, she comes back in and says, I think I need to be baptized. See, that's the problem. That's what Paul's telling. I'm telling you what the Bible said. Paul said, don't do that over. If you have faith, believe in what's happened. That's what I'm telling you. And I'm going to, if I make people mad, I just make people mad. But I'm just telling you what God said. Brother Brown said, the more you go to the altar, the weaker you get. Now, I've been reading the quote 3 or 4 times. So you keep going to the altar, you keep getting weaker. Why? Because you're putting your faith in somebody else. God wants you to put faith in him and what he's done for you. Now, we all need prayer. We all need, listen, you know what? We all need to bind together.
Yes.
But we don't all need to go to the altar. That's why Paul said that.
That's right.
Laying on of hands is fine. It's in the Bible. Cannot be took out.
That's right.
But he said, leave that.
Amen.
And go on to perfection, because you know what? A mature bride, and they really enjoyed this because I took that avenue. Listen, laying on of hands is not going to bring you a body change. I think that's what everybody thinks. Is one day Brother Dale's going to be standing up there, and he's going to say, all right, everybody come up here and we'll lay hands on you, and you're going to get a body change. That will never happen. It's got to come from what's inside of you, what you're hearing the word, letting it come into here, though, and materialize back out. All right, let it materialize back out, because that's what happened here. Abel materialized, what Abel believed in, which was the sacrifice of an animal, he believed in that, and it materialized, because you know what? He didn't turn and say, okay, Cain, I think I'll just do what you're doing. It'll save my skin. No. No, Abel said, this is, God said, this is it. Abel said, this is it. And God said, Cain, if you'll do like your brother, I won't have to do to you what I'm going to do to you. But remember, he saw the vision of Cain doing what he did, and he couldn't change it.
When you're going up stair steps, you don't leave that first step. You know what I mean?
Yes.
When they say leave that.
Well, let me explain just for a second what Paul's saying. Paul's not saying do away with all these things. He says leave. But remember, you can't go out. They're building a subdivision in Gillsville. There's like 40 houses started. But now, 30-something of them are already built. Why? They left the foundation. They didn't do away with the foundation. Because you know what? You can't go in and live in that house. It'd just be a slab. But you know what? Potentially, it's a house. Right? And people are buying them while they're already just in slabs, but they don't leave it a slab. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection. Not laying again all these other things. What? You don't need it. That foundation has already been laid. The prophet of God gave us a firm foundation. God gave us a firm foundation. Remember? Zerubbabel cleaned it off, because you know what man done? Man started building it crooked. With different denominational ideas. Man started building a crooked building. God had to wipe that thing off and said, okay, we're going to start right here, and we're going to have a little old prophet teach us how to go all the way up to the statue of perfect man. Not taking this out, but we got to leave that foundation. That's what I'm saying about all these different things. We got to grow up and be a mature wife. Let's go. We'll finish. Well, we never may ever finish this Hebrew. All right.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
I'm trying to get over it.
Okay.
Well, just match that.
My brother.
Hebrews 11 is where we're starting on now. Hebrews 11, and we're going to begin by saying welcome to the visitor. She is a visitor down here. You did. Maybe you should have had a baby a long time ago.
You should have seen them two old women trying to drag that baby around yesterday. They got shot.
Okay, we're online.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
Sorry,
Philip. Hebrews 11. Good to see Ellie with us this morning. Bible tells us is now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now remember, what we've been talking about faith all back. If you'll read Paul, Paul builds up to something and then he just lays it out. So he's been building up the Hebrews all the way verse chapter 10 when we were talking about Abraham and talking about the different ones and Melchizedek and meeting this and meeting that. He comes to this sign here, says, now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you got to remember one thing. Faith is that journey, but there has to come a time where faith is finished and it becomes a reality. We were talking about this, the kind of the theme for the whole weekend in Arizona when Brother Joel Brown and Brother Darrell Ward and myself. We never compared notes, but I never seen three people preach in the same line as we did. So, and the whole thing is that God had a vision, and that vision has now become reality. Now you can put everything, all the peripherals up in it, all you want to, bribe, whatever you want to put in there. But this was a vision that God saw. God saw that there would be a people of faith. And did he give them something? What? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He'd give them a hope, but now listen. Your new birth can't be a hope. Your faith can be a hope to a degree. But once it becomes a reality, when Abraham had the baby, he didn't have to have faith to have the baby again. He had faith in that one promise God gave him, and that's what you and I have got to narrow that faith down. As we were talking this past weekend, you got to narrow that faith down to where we're not trying to get a bride ready. No. A bride's not going to take a rapture. I'm sorry. A bride's not going to take a body change. Now, if I left it at that, you'd say I said something that I wouldn't say. Like, Trudy's over here, you could put a turtle in her mouth. A bride's not going to take a body change. A wife is going to take a body change. Bride's not. Bride is babies.
That's right.
That's why Brother Branham comes up to 1963. He says, "Now I call you bride." What? He had birthed a bride. He had birthed a young lady, church, woman, female, church. He had birthed them into the way. We'll get to it this afternoon. I'm going to preach on seventh seal, what is next. So we have to see what is next. When the seal's open, we got to see what's next. That's what we were talking about this past weekend, is when Jesus said in Matthew 17, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man be risen again. Well, now that's already been completed. The Son of Man's risen again. He better be, because the Son of Man's message is not to the bride. It's to the wife. Because the wife hath made herself ready. Her wife. Revelation 19 is a wife. It didn't say bride, it said wife. A wife is a mature lady that's been married for some time. If you've been born again, doesn't matter if it's one day or 50 years, you started as a bride. Now you become a wife. You sisters well know, as well as we do as men, that you fumbled around the first few years of your life trying to get to know each other. Is that right? Say amen. When you first got married, remember back, you fumbled around. You didn't know whether this like this one or that like that one. You were just deer in the headlights. You know, you're married. And most of us, like me and Danny, had to go to work. That's just what you do. I mean, you go to work. You get married, you go to work. A lot of times that's kind of backwards now. They get married first, then they try to go to work. But it doesn't work that way. It may in circumstances, but anyway, so you have to have faith, though, that this thing's going to last.
Right.
Same way with what we're talking about now. A mature bride is a wife. So the wife has made herself ready. The wife had made herself ready. Okay? Because remember, even in the analogy Brother Branham used with the armor meatpacking man, they had not got married yet, but when he was gone, she didn't go sit out on the porch for a year, because he said, I'll be back in 1 year to pick you up. Now, she didn't do like most of us. I'm talking about lazy bride that's been here for 50 years. We went out and sat on the porch and said, well, somebody's coming to get us. And you let your fingernails grow out, and you don't fix yourself up, and you don't get ready. No. Remember when that day, she marked it on her calendar, she knew that day he was coming to get her, she made herself ready. Now that is being a young bride, but still, She had work to do in that year. She worked, I'm sure, like crazy to save up, do things, get by the dress. Because you see what I mean? The bridegroom was gone. Our bridegroom's not here. The physical Lord Jesus Christ is not here. We're his body. We're the one, we're supposed to get it ready here. Right? And getting it ready, then our faith must mold right into not just faith like the vision. Listen, God had a vision at the beginning that he died on a cross. But that was a vision. Now that vision had to become reality. June and I were sitting there, and Brother Darrell Ward was preaching. He tore a piece of paper, and we'll do it upstairs, about putting it back together. And June leaned over and she said, matching pieces. And that's what Brother Dale preached in 1995, was matching pieces. We got to match what the Word says. We're not matching what the Word says. Just like I told y'all the other day, if we don't come to church more now than we ever come to church, you're not matching the piece. Your piece that you have is not matching the Word. I'm just being as honest as I can be.
Yeah.
It's not matching the Word. The Word says, all right, so here's the piece. Here's the vision God had. But he had a vision that somebody was going to do it. See, because he had the vision. Brother Branham, when he would have a vision, it's so remarkable, and I read a few quotes last night, where he says, you think about me and my visions. He said, you see how confident I am. Why is he confident? He already saw it happen. Brother Brown said Jesus was confident he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead because 4 days ago he had had a vision. And he depended and had faith. Now he had faith in that vision. But once that vision became a reality, it wasn't faith anymore. It was a reality. All right, just like I told you, we have faith that we get to church this morning, but now we're sitting in the room. Guess what? We don't need to have faith that we're at church. You're at church. So that's what I'm saying about from bride to wife. When you come to wife, you have a confidence that you didn't have as a bride. And there's a confidence that God has in you that he didn't have when you was bride. Once adoption and all that, that's what I was preaching on this weekend. And I'm assuming everybody enjoyed it. They said they did anyway. If they didn't, they were lying. But when we come to adoption, it's not God speaking, it's us speaking. When we come to adoption, God's give us the keys to the car with full confidence. But we went through the part where Brother Brown says power without character is satanic. You have the power, but he's not going to release. Brother Darrell, that's what I'm telling you. It actually looked like we had a preacher's meeting before, right, June? It actually looked like we had a preacher's meeting before we went to that this weekend. And I've never seen three people, regardless of whether I was there or not, I've never seen three people. Brother Joel Brown started with just the bottom furrowing the ground. Brother Darrell comes in a little bit more. And then I come in and kind of put the top on, put the top on it. But it was all in line. We were all in the same furrow. So that's why people enjoyed it, because you've been to meetings where this one preaches on Abraham and this one preaches on Solomon, and it's just kind of shotgun scattered all over the place. But not with that this weekend. But that was our prayer, was that we would all be in harmony and continuity of the message. And the message was, get a bride here and then get her ready. All right? And that's the whole deal, is we've not got them ready for 50 years. So now we got to get a bride ready to make them to go into the wife stage to where the adoption can take over, where you can say to this mountain, be moved. And don't doubt in your heart, right? You gotta have faith in what you say. Listen, we all are faith-based people. We must be believers. You believe in something, okay? So you gotta believe in something, but our belief, I was thinking about this yesterday, our belief is not that it's a Trinity, not that it's water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now see, God winked at that ignorance a long time ago. But when the prophet comes, he brings that thing around to where we have faith. That's why people are trying to tear the message down. They don't have faith in who brought it, number one. Because they say that the prophet made a lot of mistakes and yada, 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 which is, the devil. But God's word never changes. That's the vision God had. when Brother Branham would stand and talk to this lady, Brother Darrell Ward was, that was when he was preaching, he was showing how that the vision become manifest. He told him, he said, "Lady, you live at 142 and a half street." Now, being a postal employee, the only way you can have a half address is that it's the same driveway with two different, not two different houses, but two houses connected. One's the 142 and one's the half. So Brother Branham was literally looking at that house. He wasn't guessing. God opened a television. Jesus said, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man." Well, I'm telling you the vision. It's in a television. My Brother Brown said television's not bad. He actually probably was the first high definition television operator in the world. Because he didn't see it in black and white. I believe he saw it in full color, because he said, "Your eyes are brown, you were sitting on this street, your street number so and so, your car's blue." He was looking at a television before man even had, what do you call it, what they call it, was chronochrome or whatever that first one it was?
Monochrome.
So Brother Branham was looking, but you know what he saw though? He saw the actual happening. And there was no deviation because he saw actually it happen. That's what Brother Dale was heading toward. That there's been many visions of different things that didn't come to pass. But when Brother Branham was standing there, we believe him being a prophet. If he was looking at that lady, he said, "Lady, your name's Miss Henrietta Jones, and you live on 142 and a half street. I see you sitting on your side of your bed, groaning with a headache. And I see you fall off the bed. I see you." He's watching the actual happening, totally either in the future or in the past. But he's looking at it right there. Tells that lady, "You live at so-and-so, this is where you live." Said, "If you'll believe, God will heal you." But now remember, he saw the vision of Bill Dow. He said, "Bill," he said, "you'll come out of that." He said, "I'll shake your hand." Well, now he wasn't just telling him that, he saw it.
Right.
That's why Jesus told him that they went around and around. Jesus said he's sleeping. Talking about Lazarus. Then finally he said, "He's dead." But he saw him, Brother Brown said he had confidence. He saw him 4 days before. He saw Lazarus come out of that tomb. He saw the exact happening. Remember what Brother Branham would do? He would walk into a home and he had seen the vision before.
Right.
So he was looking into the future. And he said, "I'm looking down and I see a hat laying on the television, on the radio." He said, "I walked in, the hat wasn't there." So he couldn't do anything because what? He saw that vision, that hat had to be on the radio or wherever it was, on the duofold or whatever he called it. He said, "That hat had to be there." And he said, remember, the guy walks in, takes his hat off and lays it on the duofold. He said, Now let's go pray for you. Because he was probably just standing there fumbling around trying to find something to say, waiting on that hat to be put right there. But he knew and had confidence, though, that the vision he had, that hat, when it was placed there, what happened? When that hat was placed there, he said, "Now let's go pray for the baby." Now he could have went and prayed for the baby, but it wouldn't happen. It had to happen as he saw it. Same way with God. God, before the beginning of time, back in the eons of eternity, he turned on the television. We think Wi-Fi is great. God's had it for years, millions of years. Okay? He saw the whole of time all the way down and saw as it actually happened, not as... See, we can't see what happens tomorrow, so we have to have faith.
Right.
But what if we, by God, like Brother Brown did, by God's grace, he could show us exactly what happened tomorrow. But now Brother Brown told us somewhere in there that he said, "Don't do that because you'd go crazy if you knew the future. So be careful." He didn't show Brother Brown everything.
Right.
He said he did. Why? Because you'd go crazy.
Right.
If God showed you your whole life all the way down, you know what? He may show you where you're going to leave this world, and you're not going to like that.
That's right.
Okay? Just surprise me, Lord. Okay? But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, what? By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Because what did the elders see? The elders are the prophets. I was reading it yesterday. What was that in? What tape was that in? But I was reading it yesterday that all the prophets saw a piece of the future. I'm reading Isaiah. If you want to know what's going to happen, read the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a commentary of 66 books of the Bible. Isaiah was a young man, real young man, like a boy almost, 18, 19, 20 years old. And God showed him all these things. Well, what'd he do? He'd show him this, and like Naaman, chariots in the street, I mean, Jocelyn, with lights on. Well, he saw cars, but didn't know what to call them cars. But he literally saw cars. He just didn't know what to call them. All these different things that we see in the Old Testament. See, what's my point? My point is that we have had so much clarity in this end time.
Right.
It's not a fuzzy black and white picture like we used to watch, you know, back in the 60s and what just happened. No, it's high definition.
Right.
Man, you can walk by, you go to buy Walmart and you look at that wall of televisions and you see this, like National Geographic, and you see this guy's got the camera on his helmet. Well, it's just like you're riding in the helmet with him. I mean, it's just like everything's, why? That's high definition. Everything had to go to high definition so that you and I, a type of what? Us seeing the Word of God in high definition. Every detail. What is high definition? Definition is detail. They even wrote a piece the other day, I read it in the paper, where some of the actors and actresses are complaining. They're complaining because it's so real looking that they have to hide all their blemishes now.
Yes, right.
With paint and whatever and surgery and all that other stuff, because high definition is showing all their flaws. Well, I hope high definition shows all of our flaws.
Right.
Because I believe you're getting, in this church, you're getting high definition.
Yes.
Okay, I don't care whether you agree with that or not. I don't have faith in it, I know it.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, because you know what? It feeds me.
Yes.
So, if it feeds me, then it should feed you.
Yes.
It does.
But what we're trying to do as ministers is what we were talking about last Sunday. As ministers, we're trying to bring all this in clarity because man has hit the focus button. I mean, you know, I just bought a new pair of binoculars and man, it is so sharp and so high definition. But all you got to do is turn it just about not even a quarter of an inch and you can't see a thing. Because it's out of focus. You can see people walking, but you can't tell who they are or what's going on. But buddy, you hit that button just a little bit to the right or to the left, and it brings it in, and man, you can see everything you need to see. Well, that's the same way with the Word of God. So you and I have clarity. Even Old Testament saints, they didn't have a lot of clarity because they saw, like Paul said, I looked through a glass darkly. Even Paul couldn't see this day, but folks, we're standing in the day.
Yes.
This is the vision being made manifest. This is not, I don't have faith that Brother Branham's message is right.
Right.
I know it's right.
Right.
And that does put faith, though, into action. Brother Branham talks about putting faith in action. Well, faith in action is you just keep believing and keep believing and keep believing. Regardless of what comes, what may, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, ups and downs, life and all these things. You must see that we are in the right vision. The hat's been placed on the whatever. And God said, that's it. They're here. They've arrived. Because here we see all these people. They had many flaws in their life. Abraham, the father of our faith, gave his wife away twice. Okay? Laughed at God. Oh, that Ishmael may walk before you. That's what Brother Joel was talking about. See that? And Abraham was kind of shotgunning it. He was trying to have faith, but he didn't know what to have faith in.
Right.
He just had faith in himself at that time, if you understand what I mean. He could produce a child. Okay? So he picks him up a substitute and has a child. And then he says, oh Lord, that Ishmael may walk before you. I mean, his revelation was horrible. Because God said, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a promised son. This son's going to do this and this and this. Well, Abraham's like, there he is. He told God. He said, God told him you're going to have a son. God, and Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael may walk before you. In other words, to him, that was his firstborn.
Right.
It was the firstborn out of his loins.
That's right.
But it wasn't the firstborn of the promise. All right, Isaac was the firstborn of the promise.
Yes, right.
And Abraham had to get so old he couldn't produce. And finally he said, okay, God, you're going to have to do it because I can't do it no more. That's the way, same way we are. We have some Ishmaels in our life.
We do.
We do. We have some Ishmaels in our life that we have to get rid of. But that's not the promise. The promise is the promised son, Isaac. You and I are the promised bride that's going to become the promised wife, because there is a, Revelation 19 says the wife has made herself ready. So there is no wife that's going to get ready. She's going to be mature. She's not going to be a baby. All right? So let's continue on, or we'll never get through this. Does everybody understand what I'm saying and where we're going with this chapter? Let's look at this chapter and see that there's a vision God God had, and each one of these fulfilled that vision. But that vision is a part, a small, a real small part of the picture as compared to here. Because they gave a good report, they had flaws in their life, and they died under a good report that there was one coming, like Job. I just got finished reading the book of Job, and Job, of all the problems he had, he knew there was somebody coming that was going to redeem him back from whatever problem he was in, all right? Because he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. See, that's not when you say, I know, see, we can't say, I know tomorrow I'm going to have a good day at work. No, you don't know that.
That's right.
Especially if you say that. The devil will make sure that you don't. And Delta will lose your luggage again. Anyway.
You have temperance?
Hmm? Do what?
I said, do you have temperance?
Yes, I didn't worry about that because I knew that it was somewhere. The problem was, at one point, Delta didn't know where it was at. But see, that's what I mean. Let's use that as an analogy. Thank you. I knew my luggage was lost. I knew I owned that piece of luggage. I knew what was inside of it, because you know what? Once they found it, they had to open it up, and I had to describe all the things that was in it. They said, oh yeah, we got it. It's still in, where was it? It was still in Phoenix. Never left Phoenix. 2 days. the ticket fell off. I don't know what it went through, but when I got it, because we got one of those little things that's got my name in it, all that stuff was ripped off. Everything was ripped off of it. Then they delivered it to my home. But you know what? I knew I had it. It was somewhere. I knew I had it. And then one day it materialized. Well, that's the same way with the Word of God. You just say, well, I don't know if I... No, you got to know you're born again. You got to know that God's in your life, regardless of all the circumstances. That's what we were... I go back to last weekend because I believe it was a supernatural happening last weekend. They came three men. And you know what? We all three were in our right mind. We were all three left-handed. Me, Brother Darryl, Brother Joel, were all three left-handed, so we were preaching in our right mind. I brought that to their attention. But we were all in the same, man, it was supernatural how it happened. How that God can tell you something. It's kind of like the two sisters that went to church, and Brother Brown's, you know, he's preaching, and the two ladies walk outside, and she looked at the other one and said, he called me a buzzard. She said, he called me a Christian or an eagle. It's kind of that, you know. But once you get down to where we're down at the honing time, then everybody should realize what God's calling us to. He's calling us to adoption and to a body change. You cannot go to a body change without being adopted. There's no way. So that's what we were bringing it together this past weekend, and we'll talk about a little bit later on in the service this afternoon. Through faith, now see, through faith. You got to go through faith. You got to go through it. You got to believe.
That's right.
You got to go through it.
Amen.
Because a lot of it is by faith. But this is through faith. We understand that the world is framed by the Word of God. How do you know that? No, not by revelation. You're standing on it.
Yeah.
You're standing on it. You're literally standing on what that said. And now we understand how it happened. Man says we were here 42 million years in this age and this age and this age. We understand every bit of what's happening to this earth that we're living on. And it's like I told them over and over again, listen, we have spent a lot of time trying to think what this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And actually, both preachers really rejoiced to hear this, because you say, well, I've known this all my life. But nothing external, I've done told you all that, I told you a couple weeks ago, nothing external is going to change your body. Nothing. Oh, what about the president? Who cares? What about the money? Who cares? That's not going to change your body.
Right.
What about the earthquake? That's not going to change your body.
Right.
You give me anything external except hearing the word of God. And you know what? You can hear it external and it stay external.
That's right.
It can stay right here and right here and it don't go down to here.
That's right.
Okay? You can hear it. But what is going to get us out of here is internal.
Amen.
Nothing external. Now look, God has been so gracious to tell us what's going to happen. But now a lot of this, same way, like in Revelations, a lot of that that's going to happen, you and I are not going to be around to see it happen.
That's right.
Yes. Amen.
Right? You better not be. You better say amen, or you're going to go through the tribulation and you're going to have to feel all the wrath of God. But if you have faith, it's an evidence. It's the substance of things that hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Now see, the evidence that you had faith that this is where you need to listen to the word of God is because you came here.
Amen.
Okay? That's just the faith you have, but it's an evidence. That's why many times, and we may break off of this, I was thinking about it the other day, we may break off of this and go, where Brother Ram talks wisdom versus faith, works is faith expressed. Because remember, James, seems like James takes works. Work, do's and do's and don'ts and do's. And then Paul takes faith and says it's faith, it doesn't matter what you do. Well, it's not two people saying two different things. So Brother Brown had to come to give us high definition clarity that works is faith expressed.
Right.
Your works proves your faith.
Amen.
So man, that just makes it so simple. Okay? Your works expresses the faith you have inside of you. And it's like we were talking about this past, I'm going to go back to this weekend a lot, I'm sorry, just it was good, there wasn't a lot of people there, it was just, but we really had a good time. It's going to be internal. But now you say, well, what about the Pope? That's all external. And it's going to happen after something God does to you.
Say that again.
The devil is not an originator of anything.
Right.
He is a copycat.
Right.
All right, there has to be a true born again to be a false one.
That's right.
All right, so you got to bring truth in, have people that have truth, and then Satan's going to say, well, while they're doing this, if they're shaking the world, because remember, we're not going to literally shake the world. The bride, the wife, is not going to literally shake the world, because remember, it's not a public show. We're not going to go out on the street corner, heal everybody in the country. Not going to happen, so it's all going to be what? Internal. Secret. Right? Revealing Christ is the secret now. Christ 2,000 years ago, even Him being literally on the face of this earth 2,000 years ago, nobody believed who He was.